Good morning. This morning, I have the honor of greeting you on behalf of your 3,604 Southern Baptist missionaries serving around the world. Heather and I are honored to be with you this morning, and it is a joy to bring a message from God's Word to you. I especially want to thank you, Brother Ricky, for inviting us to come and be with you this morning. Brother Ricky and I have been friends and co-laborers for about 7 years since we served together right here at Bethel Baptist Church. And we are honored to have Bethel Baptist Church as our sending church. This morning, I'm going to do something a little different than I normally would when I'm preaching. I like your pastor, prefer to preach expository sermons from a single text. However, this morning, I want to cover a larger section of Scripture, still preaching directly from Scripture, but specifically looking at how it describes partnerships between churches and missionaries. This morning, we are going to be looking at Great Commission partnerships from the book of Philippians. A little bit of background before we get into our text this morning. Paul and Silas and Timothy, they planted the church in Philippi on his second missionary journey. And if you want to read about that, you can read that in Acts 16. Paul knew the Philippians personally, and he maintained frequent contact with them. And Paul is writing this letter in thanks for their continuous support and partnership in the mission to which Christ has called all of his disciples. We're going to cover pretty much the entire book of Philippians this morning, and I'm obviously not going to go into a lot of detail because I need to cover all of this, but I do want to look at both sides of Great Commission partnerships. How did the Philippian church partner with Paul, and how did Paul partner with the Philippian church? I believe this model, even though we don't have a command to follow this exactly, provides a helpful example to follow as we think about churches and missionaries partnering together. First, I want us to look at the missionary's responsibility. What are we going to do as we partner with Bethel Baptist Church? Well, first, we see in Philippians that the missionary frequently expresses thanks to the partner church. We read in Philippians 1:1-5, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you, always praying with joy for all of you in my every prayer because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. The Philippian church gave sacrificially to Paul's various missionary journeys and continued to support Paul while he was in prison. This letter is essentially a letter thanking them for a gift they had sent to Paul. We read in Philippians 4:10, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly because once again you renewed your care for me. You were, in fact, concerned about me, but lacked the opportunity to show it. Paul's letter to the Philippians is essentially a letter thanking them for their missionary support, even while Paul was in prison. The Philippian church, from its very beginning, partnered with Paul in his mission. This means that they gave to support Paul, but it also means that they were personally engaged in the work of evangelism and making disciples. So again, Heather and I want to thank you this morning. We want to thank you for giving sacrificially to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. We want to thank you for setting a goal of $5,000 and completely blowing that goal out of the water. We want to thank you for, along with over 47,000 Southern Baptist churches who contributed to the $175 million goal commemorating the IMB's 175th anniversary. The Lottie Moon Christmas offering is different from any other offering and charity that you might give to. It is different in that every single dollar you give goes directly to support missionaries on the field. Not a single dime goes to support administrative costs. So when you give to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, you are giving directly to missionaries. Thank you. Without you, it would be much harder for us to go and continue serving long term. Being Southern Baptist, at its core, means partnering together to send missionaries. So thank you. At the same time, I also want to be clear that giving to missions does not alleviate your responsibility to be obedient to Christ and make disciples. You see, giving to missions is not a replacement for doing missions. Jesus commands us to do both. Second, the missionary also keeps the church informed. When we partner with you, we commit to keeping you informed through a variety of methods. We will send out monthly emails. If you give us your email address, if you provide the church with your email address, and they will get it to us, and so we will make sure that you receive our monthly email updates. We also have prayer cards available as a reminder to pray for us as well that have our email address on it that you can reach out to us directly. We encourage you to get some of those from the church as well. We commit to making videos. We'll frequently make videos and send them to your church to share updates about our work and life where we are. One of the greatest benefits of technology is that we can almost bring you along with us. The technology has advanced quite a bit since our first time on the mission field almost 10 years ago. And because of that, at times we'll be able to make personal video calls with your church to allow you to interact with us personally during those calls. We also make a commitment to you that we will do everything in our power to not be boring. Heather and I love missions, but we have also sat through some incredibly boring missionary presentations. Missions is way too exciting and important for us to bore you with it. So what are we going to share with you? Well, first, we will inform you regarding the current state of the work. We read from Paul in Philippians 1, 12 through 18. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually advanced the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to everyone else that my imprisonment is because I am in Christ. Most of the brothers have gained confidence in the Lord from my imprisonment and dare even more to speak the word fearlessly. To be sure, some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. These preach out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The others proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, thinking they will cause me trouble in my imprisonment. What does it matter? Only that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. So Paul told the Philippian church what was happening with them at that moment. He told them about the ongoing work. Now, I want to share with you about the work in Nigeria, and I'm going to share a few statistics for those of you who enjoy facts and figures. For those of you who don't, I promise I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. Nigeria is one of the earliest mission fields for Southern Baptists. International Mission Board missionaries first began work in Nigeria in 1854. Nigeria is the most populous African country and has the largest city in all of Africa, the port city of Lagos. Nigeria is anticipated to be the fourth most populous country in the world by 2050. About half of Nigeria identifies as Christian, and about half identifies as Muslim. Approximately one quarter of the 440 ethno-linguistic people groups in Nigeria remain unreached. Now, you'll notice that I said about half of Nigerians identify as Christian, and this raises two potential questions. First, how many subscribe to historical biblical Christianity? This is not clear, because in the last several decades, prosperity theology has become extremely popular across all of West Africa. So if you don't know what prosperity theology is, in summary, it teaches that if you believe the right things and do the right things, then God will bless you with wealth and material things. And to be fair, this type of theology has become popular in many American churches as well. To those who believe prosperity theology, believe in a false gospel. They need to hear about the Jesus who came to die for the sins of the world and who was raised from the dead so that we do not need to fear death and Satan's power. Second, if so many of the people and people groups have been reached, then why are we still sending missionaries there? This is a good question to ask. And the short answer is because the Great Commission calls us to make disciples, not converts. Our job doesn't end when someone accepts Christ as their Savior. In fact, our job has just begun at that point. Our role with the IMB will fulfill two strategic functions. First, I will be teaching missions in a seminary where the next generation of Nigerian Baptist church leaders are being equipped. Additionally, we have been asked to partner with the Nigerian Baptist Convention to help them develop a missions orientation program to prepare Nigerian Baptist missionaries to fulfill the Great Commission to the ends of the earth. This position is extremely strategic because also by 2050, it's anticipated that 40% of the world's Christians will live in sub-Saharan Africa. The center of global Christianity has shifted from the West to sub-Saharan Africa. So you see, the Great Commission was not only given to us. The Great Commission is given to every follower of Jesus, regardless of nation, tribe, people, and language. And part of fulfilling the Great Commission is equipping others to go and fulfill the Great Commission also. We also will inform you about our upcoming plans. We read in Philippians 2, 19 through 24, "Now I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be encouraged by news about you. For I have no one else like-minded who will genuinely care about your interests. All seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know his proven character, because he has served with me in the gospel ministry like a son with the Father. Therefore, I hope to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. I am confident in the Lord that I myself will also come soon." Paul clearly communicated what his plans were to the Philippian church. And this provided them with information so they could pray specific prayers. "We want you to be able to pray for us in more than generic terms." Now, these are some of our upcoming plans. Now, in this last year, we have all learned to hold our plans rather loosely. We were recently appointed by the International Mission Board in early February, and we are scheduled for orientation in mid to late May. We will also be departing and heading overseas in early June. As it stands right now, that is the extent of the plans that we have. We also commit to informing you about the results of the work. We read in Philippians 2, 25 through 30, "But I considered it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, as well as your messenger and minister to my need, since he has been longing for all of you and was distressed because you heard that he was sick. Indeed, he was so sick that he nearly died. However, God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, so that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow. For this reason, I am very eager to send him, so that you may rejoice again when you see him, and I may be less anxious. Therefore, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and hold people like him in honor, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up what was lacking in your ministry to me." Paul was explaining to the Philippians why he was sending Epaphroditus to them and what happened while he was gone. Epaphroditus was tasked by the Philippian church to deliver their gift to Paul, but he became ill and he almost died while he was with Paul. But Paul rejoices at the opportunity to send him back to Philippi with a letter of thanks. Now, obviously, right now, we don't have anything to report in terms of results of the work, but we commit to keeping you updated regularly. Furthermore, the missionary commits to praying for the church. That's correct. We want to pray for you just as you are praying for us. We read back at the beginning of Philippians, in Philippians 1, 3 through 11, Paul writes, I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you, always praying with joy for all of you in my every prayer because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Indeed, it is right for me to think this way about all of you, because I have you in my heart, and you are all partners with me in grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how deeply I miss all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And I pray this, that your love will keep on growing in knowledge and every kind of discernment, so that you may approve the things that are superior and may be pure and blameless in the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. We want you to share prayer requests with us. We want to pray for you. It is a great privilege to pray for and intercede for one another, and we take great joy in praying for our partner churches as you pray for us as well. Lastly, the missionary commits to serving the church. He commits to serving the church. We want to serve as an example to the church. We never want to claim that we're spiritually superior. That is absolutely not the case. We are normal human beings who are simply being obedient to Christ. But Paul did not shy away from encouraging the Philippians to see him as an example to follow as he was obedient to Christ. We read in Philippians 1, 29 and 30, For it has been granted to you on Christ's behalf, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are engaged in the same struggle that you saw I had and now hear that I have. Philippians 3, 17, we read, Join in imitating me, brothers and sisters, and pay careful attention to those who live according to the example you have in us. In Philippians 4, 9, Paul says, Do what you have learned and received and heard from me and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. So we are echoing Paul and encouraging you to imitate us as we go and make disciples. Is the Lord calling you to the nations? Even if he is not calling you to go overseas, he still commanded you to make disciples of all nations. That is not negotiable. That is what it means to be a Christian. Now let's look at the other side of the relationship. Let's look at the church's responsibility to the missionary in Great Commission partnerships. The church in Philippi was not Paul's sending church. The Paul's sending church was the church in Antioch. But the church in Philippi was a strong partner church. Now, Bethel Baptist Church is our sending church, and we desire that you will become strong partners with us, like the Philippian church, but also like the church in Antioch. Paul frequently went back to the church in Antioch to report to them and update them on the work that he was doing and to celebrate with them, and we anticipate and look forward to doing that with Bethel Baptist Church in the future. So what does it mean for a church to partner with a missionary? Well, first and foremost, the church is a partner in the gospel. Now, we've read these verses a couple of times already, but they are worth repeating again. Philippians 1, 1 through 6, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you, always praying with joy for all of you in my every prayer because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. The church was not just supporting Paul in his mission. The church was actively engaged in evangelizing their family, neighbors, and others throughout the entire region. And we trust that as you partner with us, that you will be partners with us in the gospel, proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ to those in your circle of influence. Second, the church commits to praying. Now, this may go without saying, but I think it's important to say it. The church commits to praying. Philippians 1, 18 through 19. What does it matter? Only that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. Yes, I will continue to rejoice because I know this will lead to my salvation through your prayers and help from the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Every missionary at some point encounters hardship. Maybe not to the extent of being in prison like Paul, although that is a possibility for some and many missionaries around the world. We all struggle with language learning, with life in another culture, with team conflict, and with being away from family. We struggle with the weather at times. It was 101 degrees in Ogbomosha, Nigeria today. We struggle with an unlimited list of things that often do not make it into the missionary newsletters. We all encounter hardships at some point, and there are two things that keep us going: the calling of our faithful Lord and knowing that we have brothers and sisters praying for us. We are asking for you to pray for us. We are specifically asking for at least one member, not the pastor of Bethel Baptist Church. We are asking for a member of Bethel Baptist Church to serve as a prayer advocate for us in your church. This person will take responsibility for relaying prayer requests to us or to the church and remind the church to persevere in praying for us. Why not the pastor? The pastor already has a lot of things on his plate. The pastor has a lot of things going on, and so I am asking for somebody, not him, to take responsibility for us, to be an advocate for us at Bethel Baptist Church. Furthermore, the church commits to teaming with us, being a part of our team on the field. Again, Philippians 2, 25 through 30, Paul writes, "But I considered it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, as well as your messenger and minister to my need. Since he has been longing for all of you and was distressed because you heard that he was sick, indeed he was so sick that he nearly died. However, God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, so that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow. For this reason, I am very eager to send him, so that you may rejoice again when you see him, and I may be less anxious. Therefore, welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and hold people like him in honor, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up what was lacking in your ministry to me." The entire church could not go to Paul. Paul was in prison, and all of them could not make that journey. But they did send Epaphroditus, both to deliver a gift and join Paul's team for a time. Now, a time will come during our time in Nigeria when we will need a volunteer team to fulfill a strategic task. I don't know what that task may be right now, but when it comes, I may reach out to you and ask you to prayerfully consider serving with us. The church also commits to strategic and generous giving. Philippians 4, 10 through 20, we read from Paul that, "I rejoiced in the Lord greatly because once again you renewed your care for me. You were in fact concerned about me, but lacked the opportunity to show it. I don't say this out of need, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I find myself. I know how to make do with little. I know how to make do with a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need. I am able to do all things through him who strengthens me. Still, you did well by partnering with me in my hardship. And you Philippians know that in the early days of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent gifts to my need several times. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the profit that is increasing to your account. But I have received everything in full, and I have an abundance. I am fully supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you provided, a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. The Philippian church gave because they cared about Paul, and they were concerned when they had no opportunity to give. Paul was content with however much or little they could provide. The amount of the gift was less important than what the gift represented. And Paul knew that the Lord would permit him to be content with whatever the church gave. They gave joyfully and sacrificially, knowing that their actions were pleasing to God. This is again why the Lottie Moon Christmas offering is so important for sending Southern Baptist missionaries around the world. You can trust that whatever you generously give meets a strategic need somewhere in the world. And if it helps when you give to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, feel free to think of Heather and me serving in Nigeria. As we conclude, I want to give you an opportunity to respond in faithful obedience this morning. The Lord may have laid it on your heart to serve as a prayer advocate for us. If this is you, I encourage you to talk with Brother Ricky after the service or later this week and let him know that you would like to serve as a prayer advocate for us. Then send us an email to let us know that you have had this conversation and we can talk about what that looks like. Perhaps the Lord is calling you in another way. As I have shared about the need and that Jesus has called us to go and make disciples of all nations, you may have felt something when I said go. You might need to schedule an appointment with Brother Ricky and begin praying together as you sense Jesus calling you to go to the nations. I assure you that none of you are too old or too young to pray for the Holy Spirit to guide you in this. Some of the most effective missionaries I have seen on the field were beyond retirement age. And some of the most passionate missionaries I have met began praying about being a missionary when they were very young. Don't make excuses about why you can't go. Carefully consider whether or not you have a clear calling to stay. Maybe everything I have said this morning sounds very strange. Why in the world would two highly educated, highly skilled people commit to spending their lives overseas? Who is this Jesus who calls people to do that? Those are wonderful questions, and I so desperately want you to know. If you don't know Jesus, if you don't know what's so great about the gospel, I want you to know. God created us to live in a perfect relationship with Him. But our rebellion against God has broken that relationship. Our rebellion against God is called sin, and because God is perfect and holy, the just punishment of our rebellion against a perfect and holy God is death. But despite our rebellion against God, He still loves us. And He created a way for us to be reconciled to Him. He sent His one and only Son to live a perfect life, free from all sin, but to suffer the punishment of our sin. He died on the cross to atone for our rebellion. And then He gloriously rose from the dead after 3 days, conquering death and giving us hope for our future resurrection also. This is the good news that must be shared among all the nations. And if you have never declared your faith in Jesus, then I truly hope that you will talk to Brother Ricky, and I promise you that conversation will make his week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for being a God that calls us to the nations, that calls us to be engaged as participants in your mission. Lord, as you bring all things in, reconcile all things to yourself, Lord. I thank you that we get to participate in a part of that, in proclaiming your good news to people. Lord, empower us, equip us, create in us a holy eagerness to proclaim your good news to our friends, to our family, to our coworkers, to our community, to our state, to our country, and to the ends of the earth. And Lord, it's in your name we pray. Amen.